Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Berkshire Hathaway, and tonight we have a very special show for you. In store for you, we have the punk rock band Honeyburst. Honeyburst are time-traveling psychics from the future, and they will offer you financial advice, psychic predictions, and tips on the fall TV show lineup. So without further ado, please say a very special welcome to Lance and Honeyburst. Yay.
Yay.
Hey. Hi, Berkshire.
So Honeyburst, the very first question I have for you,
why don't we go around and introduce the...
I thought they were all named just Honeyburst.
If you can't really see us, it really doesn't matter, does it now?
I mean,
but I would be Michael, the singer, and Smith, our bass player, is here as well, and also our manager, Chi-Chi, is here this evening.
Chi-Chi. We pride ourselves on the ability of our audience to visualize, right, to put a face to the voice, even if that face is one of a young B. Arthur.
Picture this. If you're looking for a picture of Michael, looking for a picture of Michael, think Kirk Cameron, Growing Pains, circa 1982.
Nice.
Well, that's uncannily accurate, actually.
Smith is Nick Nolte in New York Stories.
Again, uncanny. How long have you guys been practicing these descriptions?
Right now.
So, it's my hair. I should have wore a hat today. But.
So since you're both powerfully attractive and intuitive, the question that I have for you, which I think is a really important one, is when I was driving here tonight to the studio, I was stopped at a stoplight, and a group of teenage college hooligans drove by me. And as they drove by, they yelled into my open window, "Hey, Daddy." Now, was that sort of cruel college cruelty, or was that some kind of gay come on? I think
you would have to define hooligans to me, Berkshire,
and
because
daddy.
I would.
Well, I'm giving you all the information I have. Me in my car, in my 1992 Toyota Corolla, and they just drove by, and four of them or so, clearly college students.
Ah, I drive a 92 Toyota Corolla. They thought you were me.
Interesting. And
That's very possible.
Problem solved.
I haven't called daddy.
What sorts of hooligans? Were they shirtless yet wearing chains to cover their masculine chests? Were they wearing letter sweaters?
Sort of tragically kind of pouty, just on the cusp between boyhood and man, not quite sure.
Yeah, I remember them.
Did you follow up on this?
What was the, I mean, they were going one way, I was going the other. I was
You'd
late
say, hi, son. Be home by 10.
Well, if I had that kind of rapid comeback style delivery, maybe I could have said something.
Sorry, watch your mouth, son, or this belt's got your name on it. So, I mean,
you wait till your mother gets home.
By invoking the daddy role, they, placed a plethora of options in your hands.
Interesting.
That shut them up.
So, what did your NORAD quality gaydar say?
Well, it failed. I mean, I got kind of a vibe from the driver. I mean, I don't want to further any stereotypes, but he had kind of a gay voice a little bit. I mean, it really was. Like, if I'd heard him saying the same thing in the holiday, I would definitely think it was like,
This was at a stop sign. This was a car, boys?
Yes.
I would have told him, pull over and pull the train. Hands down.
See, well, that's why you're the rock star.
Well, maybe if they're listening.
Living on the edge.
Maybe if they're listening, they can call in and clarify. The studio number is 412-621-9728. Or if you're on the campus, the simple five numbers are 89728.
We would like callers.
Yeah. And, of course, these young children were listening to the contagious beats of Honeyburst, right?
I think they were at all. I think they were listening to one of your earlier, less polished albums before the band really got its cohesive
make time
harmony.
For daddy.
One of our finest works. That's right. There were Smith Stalkers.
Come on and get up and get out.
So I have a question about the evolution of the band Honeyburst. I mean, given your choice of becoming all internationally renowned supermodels and gay porn stars, you decided instead to focus on your musical talents and form a punk rock band from the future. I'm not even mentioning your powerful psychic talents and your ability to predict the future. So what led you to take that path rather than the more traditional path of psychic predictions and
gay porn?
It really wasn't an option for me because to me it was all about the money.
I don't know. It just happened for me. I don't know. I just never stopped doing it.
Is it one of those things that you dreamed of since you were little kids? Did you start playing guitar at 14?
Well, I'm still dreaming of making it.
Well, hey, you're on the radio with us, you know, clearly, and one of the 300 definitions of making it, you've made it.
If a meteor hits me tonight, then I can prove you right. My life is over.
Well, if we were getting into the topic of being gay, I found it the most easy career to have and be gay because it wasn't even actually a deficit being gay and being in a band. It was actually
it has its perks.
Yeah, it was actually on the plus side kind of thing.
What? Perks?
Perks, hang on. Sorry. So, I mean, being gay.
Not getting beat up. If you were gay in high school and you weren't in a band, you would get beat up. But if you were in a band, they kind of expected you to be gay anyway, or at least pretend you were.
Actually, oddly enough, I'm noticing the younger the kids are now, that they seem more accepting. And they actually think it's kind of cool.
And your fan – I mean, and kids that come to the shows and your fan base.
It seems like the younger the audience, the more they're like, cool, you're gay. Hmm. My brother's gay or my cousin's gay or whatever.
My dad is. Berkshire is.
But I'm intrigued by this idea of the expectations of bands in high school, right? Because when I was in high school, I don't think I expected guys in bands to be gay.
Yeah, well, you know, you've had people now who are 35 years old who've been completely raised on Sesame Street, and they're totally accepting of people with one arm and people who are gay.
Well, and also you had this whole David Bowie thing. Now, he said he was gay, but he's been married twice, and now he said he's not gay.
He's having his third marriage to work out.
Was there this point at one time during the 70s in the glam thing where it's just fashionable for people to say that they were?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like it was in there. I mean, at the peak of the glam scene, right? I mean, that scene seemed to be as much tied into bisexuality, you know, as sort of any other musical movement.
They would say that, and yet I don't think they really even practiced it, or at least not that they could remember now. But.
Yeah, but isn't that still a problem that people are afraid? Like, some people have no problem with being gay performers, and other people, like, who are gay would never, ever jeopardize their career.
Like Michael Jackson.
Metallica.
Oh, please. They're not. No. Henry Rollins, though. Big industry rumor for years that Henry Rollins is supposedly going to come out. We're waiting.
Really? There's actually a spoken word album of Henry Rollins in the station where he explicitly talks about not being gay, mm-hmm. but wishing he were bisexual, and he does a little comedy riff on that. So you're saying that was just his attempt to sort of melt the ice so he could break it with his own inimitable sledgehammer style?
That's when his boyfriend was still alive.
Oh.
Henry's in denial.
He has huge pyramids on his denial. Yes.
Well, what about Cordell Stewart? Does he have a responsibility?
You brought up a not infrequent topic on the show.
Oh, really? You brought that up before?
Well, obviously, he's only going to come out when he's doing good. So.
Well, what I've heard was there was a rumor started by racist cops. Because everyone you talk to has a different story of which park it happened in and what exactly happened. And apparently there were these racist cops that got together in Pittsburgh and said the Steelers aren't doing very well and we want to get rid of Cordell, so let's start passing this rumor around that he was arrested.
No, that's obviously not true because they were doing okay when that was going on.
No, they weren't.
No, they did bad when it came out.
No. When that rumor started, the Steelers were actually okay. They were still a playoff team. It wasn't until after it that. It could have been corrupt Cleveland cops. Who wanted to bring the Steelers down.
This is talk radio. I'm allowed to lie, right?
They can't
say anything really based in fact, do we?
No, if we weren't allowed to lie, we'd be whistling Dixie for 45 minutes out of every hour, right?
Well, let's leave sleeping dogs lie. Yeah.
What about Ed Koch, then?
Ed Koch? Well, leave the man alone. He just had a heart attack.
So this is the thing I don't understand. I mean, so you've mentioned a bunch of sort of old fogies in the music industry, but the people that I and my listeners really care about are which of the boy bands, I'm talking about NSYNC, 98 Degrees.
Ricky Martin.
The Boyzone. Ricky Martin. Which of them are gay? Is Lance?
I'm hoping Taylor Hanson is because he'll be marrying age
Taylor
pretty
Hanson
soon.
Taylor Hanson, teen phenom Hanson.
Which one's Taylor? You're not.
Tay's the middle one.
Are you pedophilically referring to the youngest one?
Yeah,
no.
Peter Bray to get the group.
Oh, the middle one.
That must, I mean, he must be neglected and thus highly, you know, adorable.
And vulnerable. I mean, I saw a recent picture of the Hansons on some magazine, and they're they were looking kind of ugly for a while, but now they're looking kind of hot again.
Well, I mean, thanks to probably $800,000 worth of styling advice.
Thanks to puberty.
No, they got complete makeovers. Mm. They fired Rick Ocasek from producing them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did Rick Ocasek produce their first album?
To.
Wow. He was going to produce the second record, but they fired them all and got their same producer from the first record.
Yeah, Rick Ocasek, I should mention for our listeners who aren't hip Used to be the lead singer of the Cars. He's married to Paulina Porizkova, and now he's a pretty popular sort of pop rock producer.
And he's straight.
Well,
I'm amazed that you remembered her name and could pronounce it.
And pronounce it very quickly. Paulina Porizkova.
Well, you probably met.
I always called her that Croatian chick.
Yes, indeed. I've probably met. Well, I think she's Czechoslovakian, actually. But yes, I've probably masturbated to her, you know, before I turned 18, right?
So see, that's why you lost me.
Those memories, you know.
So do you think,
she
like,
was a model.
I mean, the number of times I've masturbated to the image of C. Thomas Howell, how does that relate to the number of times you've masturbated to Paulina Porizkova?
I mean, it may be 900 to 1, but that just may be an indication of our disparate sexual potency. More than any, you know, measure
so
of the
if an orgasm lasts 10 seconds, that means you spent how long orgasming to her?
I mean, I don't know, certainly enough to get
an hour and a half.
Probably like a whole freshman algebra's worth of time.
Now, see, that's another downside to puberty. C. Thomas Howell was hot, and then all of a sudden, he was all right in Kid, though, right?
All right in Kid?
That movie, Kid? You see that movie?
No.
He's in that Western. He goes back to avenge the killing of his parents. Ooh,
it's
hot.
Was it a musical?
No, I did not. So he did this recently, or in his young hot days?
Oh, I think it was mid-90s, I think.
Wow.
You know, I have no idea who that is.
Oh, C. Thomas Howell. Now, see, Smith didn't decide he was gay till after he got married, so he wasn't buying Tiger Beat in high school like I was.
No, I was bi.
And pictures of my mom was like, why do you have C. Thomas Howell on the bedroom wall?
Well, I like he's a good actor.
I like his work.
Yeah, I like his work.
Yeah, he's a fantastic actor. Yeah, that's why. He's the new De Niro.
Yeah, there was a brief moment after, was it Rumblefish? Right, where, you know, who knows how it could have gone.
I fell in love with The Outsiders, which in The Outsiders was like every cute guy ever from the late 70s, early 80s. A plethora of boys. What was that movie made for? I think they just actually just made that for pedophiles, didn't they?
Could be. Well, having read the book,
Breaking
Away.
Well,
it was a good book, but that movie, that's like softcore porn.
Well,
right.
Who directed?
Oh, Penny Boys, stay gold!
If one of our listeners wants to figure out who directed The Outsiders, and call us to tell us.
Francis Coppola.
Was it Coppola?
That's Francis Coppola. And didn't he do Rumblefish as well, which was also softcore board porn?
Well, maybe.
Matt Dillon fighting? That's porn to me.
Man. I think, Lance, you're in a little bit of denial here. So you not only read the S.E. Hinton novels, but saw the movies based on them. I mean,
yes.
What does that say about your sexual desires?
You know, I'm a sucker for a good story.
Stress sucker?
And fine actors. He just loves fine acting and a good storyline. Stay cold, pony boy.
Warriors.
I'm sorry, what's the quote here? Stay what, pony boy?
Do you remember Stay Gold, Pony Boy?
Stay
and
gold.
Dyed his hair to punk rock gold. Oh. Yes.
Did he die in Red Dawn? I'm trying to remember. That's another of my faves.
That's another one, too. But did that have a story to it?
He had to save America. He got all butch.
Yeah, only the biggest story of our century. You know,
I only remember the bathroom scenes, the shower scenes.
Wait, I thought they were out in the Colorado wilderness. I didn't know there were shower scenes.
No, but they were at school before that.
There was that, you know, when they got the older guy in that story, and there was sort of this dominance thing with the young boy, you know, there was sort of a pseudo.
Just like Full Metal Jacket, right, with the sergeant and the...
Exactly, full of phallic images, guns, shower heads.
So you guys seem exceptionally aware of the homosexual subtext in even something as unobtrusive as a microphone. Does that sort of sensibility make it into your music?
I make my living through a phallic microphone.
And he sings, too.
I was wondering how, I mean, you've talked about being sort of openly gay musicians in the Pittsburgh scene, right? How openly gay is your music?
No, not at all.
I don't think it's an issue in our music.
Because we had the Paul Lynn 451 on, and, mm-hmm. you know, they were... Their music seemed at times to be gay as the day is long, right?
Yeah, but they're having fun with that.
Is that part of their shtick?
Yeah.
Or with you guys, it's really about the music.
I think themes to song are pretty much sort of Jungian basic archetypal themes. Love is love, whether it's between a dog and a man, or a boy and a man, or a woman and a man.
How about a man?
The third option being my least favorite. And the dog one being my first favorite. But I don't really think that would have any bearing on how the songs would be. Are you guys familiar with the Pansy Division at all? I mean, they do this whole thing of, like, you know, making it very clear that every song is about being gay. But I think songs are much more important to me than that. And I think they sort of transcend any sort of actual sexuality as opposed to just a more universality of feelings.
Sort of a gay weirdo.
All my songs are just about me, really, anyway. I don't know.
Wait, did you just call him the gay weirdo Yankovic?
No, I think the Pansy Division is sort of like a gay weirdo Yankovic. Because when you say, I've got curvature, it peeks around the furniture, how can you take that seriously?
I don't even know what that means.
It's a funny thing. Well, you know, like Bill Clinton has a little pointing a little south there.
Wow, that's quite a curve.
Yeah, he's a little leftist. Doesn't mean political.
Well, we can peek around the furniture. That's pretty good.
But I mean, I see Pansy Division's music as, I mean, in a lot of hardcore music, there's a tradition of political activism that not just in the music, but in sort of the whole lifestyle. Yeah, right? And I see Pansy Division sort of being an outgrowth of that.
In a way, yeah. But their political outburst is being gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and gee, that's a hell of a thing to be known for after 15 years. You know. Or 20 years or whatever it is.
The only gay activist band that I actually like is Tribe 8. And they'll just go out there and, you know, just take a knife and cut off dildos and things as far as their hatred towards
okay,
men.
Now forgive me.
They're making
naive,
no bones about it, pardon the pun.
Yeah, forgive me for being naive, but how is that gay?
It's lesbianism. Well, it's also man-hating lesbian. Oh, okay. They're a lesbian band. Yeah. They're all women.
Sorry.
They play without their T-shirts.
Yeah, they perform naked. And say, what are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at your saggy socks up there. I don't know what that is.
Watch that torque with that knife. You might cut something wrong off. I don't like that band.
Tribe 8's great. She's like the female Iggy Pop.
Me and Michael went to go see some movie that had that disgusting Tribe 8 band in it. And it was about women in rock, and which I didn't have a problem with at all because I love women in rock. But when Tribe 8 came on, I was so offended by their macho, mean, man-hating stance.
That just blows my mind.
Well, that
you take offense
group.
As a man. You think would you take offense if black people come out and speak their mind? You take offense at that as a white person? You would take offense as a man that women come out and speak against men? You're taking an oppressed minority that are women, and you find it offensive that they are actually speaking out against you, who have oppressed them for years?
I don't know if a black man.
Centuries?
Sorry, I'm not oppressing lesbians. I'm impressed by lesbians.
I'll give you that, but.
My hang out at a lesbian bar, for God's sake.
All right, I'll give you that. Smith does not oppress lesbians, but I think they have a total right to speak out and be as obnoxious as they want.
And told that I'm looking at their tits.
I think that makes you very vulnerable and weak if you find that offensive.
I find it offensive because the music is so bad.
Then it comes back to the music. If their music was good, would it be offensive?
No.
Okay. See, it's all about the music then.
No, because their music's not about music. Their music is about cutting off dildos.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Do they incorporate it? Do they have an instrument whose sound is produced by – do they sample the cutting off of dildos?
No, but they threaten these defenseless young boys.
Oh. Why do the boys keep coming to the show then, other than to prove their sensitivity?
See
and
their
compassion
titties.
Yeah,
they're geniuses.
You tell us. Questions, answers.
So if we can diverge from the sort of five pillars of feminism for just a moment, I actually have a question about the homosexual angle of your band. You know, you say that the homosexual thing does not come through your music, but the kids are all getting it anyway. So, like, how do they know? Have they downloaded your bio before coming to the show? Like, let's say I was down there in the mosh pit with all these kind of shirtless 18-year-old high school and college students. They were all running against me and sweating.
I'm not seeing a downside here.
Apparently, Berkshire has never seen me drunk.
Yeah.
It ceases to become an issue after I have a few drinks and start feeling boys up and asking them to marry me. So,
so this happens during your show, but like between sets or during?
Well, I'm sensing a kindred
spirit. The whole night, actually.
After. More after, right?
So you're saying that it doesn't really come out until you get drunk and a little sloppy and start taking liberties with the audience.
Oh, yeah, of course. I don't go up there and say, hey, I'm gay, and, love it or leave it, we're queer, we're here, give me a beer. No, of course not. We go up and we play our songs, but if people talk to me and people that know me, I certainly make no secret of it. But
would that make you a two-beer queer?
I was always a cheap date, but.
And so do sort of teenage swim team and track stars come up to you and say, you know, I've always been sort of confused about my orientation, and I always wondered, you know, maybe if being gay would be right, and after tonight's show, and since you're such a great guy, I was wondering if you could introduce me to
Wouldn't that be a dream world if kids were that lucid? What kids actually do is do like a sort of...
over breakfast.
Yeah. They more do like a third grade thing of like, oh, I want to hit you. Oh, don't touch me anymore. No, don't touch me like that. Oh, what are you doing tonight later? Oh, well, maybe I will come over and listen to records and have a drink. That's the way it usually happens. It's not that they're even lucid enough to even explain it and say, I'm having issues with this. No. They want to basically be taken home and getting drunk and then get their rocks off and explore their homosexual fantasies with me. Right, and I'm totally willing to.
But it's not as sleazy as he's making it sound at all.
Oh, yes, it is. Come on, let's see the relationships that I've been in. They were all there just nightmares.
But it's not. It's
not. So, but the bottom line is you do have, I mean, like, your status and stage presence and charisma is reeling people into you, people who are willing.
Oh, it helps.
But it's not about gay at all. It's not.
Well, for me, it is.
No. You don't understand. We've switched to talking about being gay to talking about how we, DJ Brooker and I, can get groupies for us.
I came out 5 years ago.
But wait, you want girls, though, right?
Yeah.
Lance wants girls.
Yes.
And Corey wants boys. Or Berkshire wants boys.
DJ Berkshire Hathaway. So when that's exactly right. Well, Lance not only wants girls, but he wants me to get set up with men, and he wants to talk about it on the show. He wants to, you know, mock both my tragedies and my successes. And so,
see, now, not to bring show politics into this, but you're just making fun of me now because we've had guest after guest come on the show and want to sleep with DJ Berkshire Hathaway. And no guests so far.
That is so not true. The best I get is I get mocked by a car full of college students who call me daddy. I mean, is that all I have to look forward to?
I'll call you daddy.
But yeah, back to the question, right? Girls and boys. But, you know, let's just think of them as groupies.
Being openly gay, I probably get more girls than most of the straight guys I know who are looking for girls.
That's true.
They ask me to hook them up with the girls that I get.
Yep. Hmm. That's true.
It's a tough life, Lance.
I mean, so the question is,
it's hard.
It's
being loved by everybody.
Wicked world, Lancey.
It's tough being loved by everybody, men and women alike.
So here's the question. Let's try to stay focused because this is a very important
David
question.
Boy was onto something then, right? Because maybe he had some of that angle going.
Yeah, but he keeps coming off it.
Yeah.
But you're showing some leg. But what's the important issue that we're getting here?
The important issue is... and this is very important, do you have an extra slot in your band for someone like me who has no particular musical talent? And
you could be a go-go dancer.
Like Josie and the Pussycats. You can play tambourine. And tangerine.
I could probably play tambourine, although staying on beat might be challenging. And if I did that...
There's only one way to teach a rhythm.
Would I increase my chances of getting regular sexual contact with kind of confused punk rock... stripper. Teenage swimmer.
Probably, Berkshire, but you know what? It's just so shallow. That's why I've resorted to pretty much just...
Victory.
It really is, you know.
Does he look like a picky
it's
man?
It's just so shallow. That's why I've just resorted to pornography and masturbation, because it's really, really, really... The most awful part is that you have to talk to them the next day, and that's not...
No, all I'd say is, hey, good morning, get up.
Well, we have to talk to our guests. How much worse could it be?
Thanks.
Not you.
You guys are callers now.
So that's a good point. I should remind our listeners that if you want to ask questions, comments, or have advice from our psychic time traveling punk rock stars from the future, the studio phone number is 621-9728.
You should call now because a year from now these guys will be so big they won't even be able to spit on you.
It'll take 20 minutes for the hit. Yeah.
That's true. I have a friend who was in the chess club with Bono. In high school. I'm serious.
And
he used to go to his early concerts and hang out with Bono and so on, and now Bono's too big to, like, hang out with him anymore.
Takes 2 weeks for that spit to hit him.
you know, an Irish chess player?
Yeah, Bono's, like, he was in the math club, apparently, in high school. He was, like, apparently sort of smart.
Well, I think he's actually asking about your friend.
Super talented. Oh, my friend?
Well, wait, is there someone in the department who we...
No, anyone Bono's age is too old for me.
This is a computer science friend of mine who's presently at the Massachusetts. No, at somewhere else.
Okay.
At the
interesting.
I think Bona got an honorary degree from
that. Or did the mention of computer science cast a cold chill on the group?
Yeah, we try to
know what that is.
So, what?
Do you do the internet thing? Smith's getting into that now. He got online a couple weeks ago, a month ago?
About 3 months ago.
We should warn you that, in fact, the entire internet, in theory, could be listening to you speak. Right now.
And I told them as many as I could.
Ah, okay, excellent.
Yes, we would like to hear some international callers. But I don't get it. I think, and I've talked to Smith about this, I think that they're going to have to do a lot of work on this internet to make it user-friendly to me. I'll be damned if I'm going to sit there for 5-10 minutes and wait for some picture to appear when I can pop in a VHS video and see instant pornography in beautiful flowing color. Be damned if I'm going to wait there and wait for this thing to appear. I'm typing this thing in. Somebody's typing back. I'm typing it in. I'm typing it back. I'm like, look, just call me. Here's my phone number. Let's call. We'll get this done in a few minutes. It's just ridiculous. It seems really time consuming and
it's
just
not about
but
that.
They need to work on it a lot.
So I have an important technical response for you, but first, because the callers on the show always come first, we have a phone call. So.
That's right.
Hello, caller.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Oh, how is everyone this evening?
A few Rick's Tribe load, but otherwise, I don't know what that means.
Better than I look, but you can't tell that.
I'm not sure that we can speak for the band, but by all appearances, they're doing quite well.
No, I missed the beginning of the show. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with international punk rockers Honeyburst.
Honeyburst?
Yeah.
I wish I could see Honeyburst.
I wish we could see you.
Well, you can. Do you have a computer there in the studio?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have access to one right now.
Oh, damn.
You have one of those cameras?
Well, if you went to www.johncamlive.com, you could see me right now.
I don't understand what you're saying, but you can give Smith your email address, and they can get in touch with them after the show at the house.
The caller said www.johncamlive.com.
I've seen him. I know who this is.
That's a Smith stalker. There you go. Really? Do you know John Cam?
He was on that webcam live where that voyeurism where one of those guys, you know, you get to see them.
Eventually, after you wait 10 minutes for it to appear.
No, this man is John Cam Live, a friend.
Done by then.
He's famous in circles that I hang out in.
He is indeed. He's a friend of the show. He's been on several times.
And I hear that he's a great guy, and I would love to have met him. He needs to call back now.
I hope he's still on. Did he hang up?
No, I'm you kidding? I'm still here.
What was your question, John Cam?
I actually didn't have a question. You guys sounded like you were having a fun time. I wanted to meet the band, and I heard international and internet in like the same sentence, so I thought I should call.
Well, as an international internet celebrity yourself, you probably keyed off of those words. And would you ever consider doing kind of a multimedia show on your site where Honeyburst could perhaps play some other hit songs while you're having sex with?
Would do it.
I think that's fantastic.
With me.
And I need my camera, my website needs a new angle, and my 2-year anniversary of doing my live webcam is in a week. So why not have a band and a party for my 2-year anniversary?
And we can masturbate during it.
Cool.
Yeah, that would be
play
great.
The tangerine.
Where are you calling from, John Cam?
I am located at the east end of Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, we're there.
Yeah, definitely. We'll do that.
No, you can't give your address on the air, but yeah, get in touch with Smith.
I'm sorry, what was that?
DJ Pornopticon has my address.
DJ Pornopticon.
He's referring to, well, that's one of my previous names. Tonight I'm DJ Berkshire Hathaway.
Who am I speaking to tonight?
DJ Berkshire Hathaway.
Berkshire Hathaway? Okay.
He's the lost son of the Howells. Jane Hathaway is his long-lost sister.
So now, is there a whole band there, or is this one person the band?
Just the gay half.
The gay half.
There's four members
in the band. The singer and the bass player are here.
And the very quiet, very ominous manager is here as well.
Okay, because I've only heard the two of you and one person, and I keep hearing the word band, but I don't hear a whole band.
Well, we're going to play one of our songs very shortly, John. But
great.
Explain to us what your website is. You masturbating?
No. The show is all about you tonight. We're going to talk about your masturbation.
Well, that's what I want to do. I want to get my only interest in the internet at all is for me to get my own website so people can watch me masturbate.
Well, come on over. I'll hook you up.
Masturbation is only one of the facets of the jewel that is John Cam Live. There's also doing laundry.
John,
there's
a
cast.
I think you caught in the middle of this, but I'm Smith and I'm pro internet. Michael totally hates the internet. He thinks it's a waste of time.
But he only hates it because it's not getting this porn
He's
fast enough.
He's not getting his instant gratification.
Well, he's doing it wrong.
I know.
That's it.
But the funny part of it, when I tell him that he needs to get a computer, he refuses to do that because he knows that he'll never be seen again.
What is he viewing the internet porn with a tin can and a string? Or how's
he? He comes over my house.
I think we see the key to your problem.
About how long it's taking.
He collects other people's underwear.
I know. So we need to work on him. So you need to give us a call, and we need to come over there and do a live show.
If there's any man who can give you the hookup to setting up your own live cam website.
Well, I've never met John Cam, but I've heard all about him forever. And I'd love to meet you.
Well, that's what this show is all about, is forging relationships.
Building bridges.
Well, I had a two-fold agenda. I had a two-fold agenda. One was to meet eligible young gay college students, and the other was I thought this would be a stepping stone to get on McIntyre.
Wait, what's McIntyre?
McIntyre, PCNC, the Night Talk deal.
Okay. Well, when we do our fabulous TV special...
It's a TV show on cable.
Well, I mean, as to the show and as internet celebrity, as an internet celebrity, I have to make something clear to you, which is that if you take away any of the hot college students who would otherwise go for me, I'll claw your eyes out. I mean, the show.
Wait,
is
I mean,
about
you should tell them how many that is so far, though.
Well, so far, actually,
if you have any to split up, we can talk.
Boy, you know, I mean, actually, so I let's see how. I mean, I would say that the number is zero, but that's not really strictly true because I had one – somebody stripped naked for us and did a little dance. Remember the
– Yes,
the pants guy?
Yeah. There have been a couple of undergrads on the show who've offered to date you, you've shamefully blown them off. It's not an exaggeration.
See, now, Berkshire, that's always my problem too. When someone actually says they want to, I'm like, oh, my goodness, that means I'm going to have to take you out and I'm going to have to talk to you and be nice to you. And I don't want to have to be nice to you and have to see you all the time and stuff.
But fantasy
just want
is much
sex.
Better than reality. I mean, my ideal date, let me tell you, see if you agree
here. It's trouble. I'm too selfish.
Exactly. I think we're of one mind here. Agree or disagree. The ideal date for me is to go to Taco Bell with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, go into the bathroom with him, have him shoot his load on my face, and then just leave, walk away.
Mine is exactly the same, only it's Taylor Hansen.
Is there some sort of colony of gay deaf mutes you could find?
Yeah, whatever you do, don't talk. It gives me a headache.
Yeah. Sean, are you still there?
Right. Yeah, if there are any deaf mutes out there.
I wouldn't hang up now for anything.
John, would you like to hear a song?
I would love to hear a song.
Is there any way we could play
one
of the songs?
Can we – let me check with the producer. Are we queued up for the next song? Okay, so
– Kate has great taste in music.
Yes. Should we introduce – this is – it's going to be song number two off that CD.
Glenn or Glenda,
Ode to Ed Wood. Very apt, yes. This is an ode to Ed Wood.
And it's going to be – is this off a CD that you guys have released? Or
hopefully in September, August.
September, August, and what's it going to be called?
It's a good. Three-song single.
Three-song single. Okay. So anyways, this is Honeyburst with Glenn or Glenda. Yeah.
And that is the eternal question. What is the matter with me, Glenn or Glenda?
Do you kiss your mom with those lips? I like that.
Actually, I wrote that after I slept with this guy. And, well, actually, that is really horrible. I probably shouldn't even say this, but it's true.
Too late.
The way I came up with that line is that I had slept with this guy, and I had just given him a blowjob. Beep, beep. Are we allowed to say that?
Beep,
come
beep.
On. The president did it. We're allowed to say that, right?
Yes.
After,
we are? You performed
I performed oral sex on this guy. And he took me to meet his mom.
You call it a performance?
I had not even brushed my teeth or anything. Oh, he took me to meet his mom, and his mom kisses me right on the
lips. Wait, so how does this go? Like,
so
we have to reconstruct the scenario. You finish. He's like, he jumps up, grabs your hand, and yanks you and says, there's somebody you have to meet.
My
mom's in the next room.
We had to travel a little bit to see his mom. It was before I'd washed or anything, so I actually kissed his mom's lips with the traces of, well, you know, I mean, you know.
His former self.
I just found it very poignant because she kissed me and I thought, oh, my goodness.
I think that's extremely touching because in some sense, you know, this is the woman who gave him life and you're transferring.
Exactly. I'm taking the life seed from him and giving it back to her.
It's almost like sowing the seed.
It's like a time
and then you plant the seed.
That's where that line came from, and it's not a pretty story, but, well. At least not for her. But
it was nothing until that baseline appeared.
Well, that's the one thing I'm a little bit the observation I want to make is that I've been occasionally looking over at the manager Larry and noticing that he's looking a little bit upset.
Chi-chi. Do you
think Chi-chi that he thinks that your appearance on the show has basically ruined all of your future prospects for?
See now, if it hasn't ruined my career so far, I don't really think that. Going
ad.
Playing to your audience of John and two other people.
Oh,
John's still there. Are you there, Johnny Cam?
Yeah, I'm gonna go out and buy your album tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, we weren't even counting John in our earlier estimates of our audience, actually.
Now, John, are you straight? Or are you just interested in listening to my perversions?
And would anybody in your band want to go out with me?
Sure. I will.
Smith does. Smith's heard of you anyway.
I'm alone and unattached.
Okay, great.
I don't go out with people anymore. I'm with Berkshire, you know. I just, you know, do it with myself and videos.
Have we made a love connection on the show? Is that what's going on?
Well, I used to have sex with myself, but then I caught myself cheating.
Well, I'm not allowed to come on the show and whine about not having a boyfriend anymore, but I'm allowed to stay home and call into the show and whine about not having a boyfriend.
When did we
Are
stop
you fat?
You from...
We don't like fatties or femmes.
I like fatties and femmes.
Ooh, Kate's shaking her head. He's hot. Kate likes you.
I've seen John. He is hot. Yeah. You know what, John? We should have a show where me and you meet.
Oh, my gosh.
The mind boggles.
I'm up for it.
I'll do it.
Well, and we've been planning to have John on the show to talk about some other things, actually. So that could work out.
Things.
Nothing more important than like the bringing together of two loving human beings. I can't think of anything more important than that.
I think you need to understand is that John is about.
Say that to Hitler and Mussolini.
John is, and I want to say this without exaggeration, in the top 0.001% of all men in terms of physique. I mean, this man, you know, you could.
So you've seen him too.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
He's been on the show. I've seen him naked.
Yeah, I don't think I'm his caliber, but I'll do my best.
You could bounce doubloons off his stomach, and they'd come right back at you.
Exactly. You could fry
That's
it.
That's good.
Yeah,
he's my money.
Yeah, like he's got more than a six pack of abs. He's got
so
a 12
pack.
You could
go Pippi Longstocking then. Oh, doubloons on pieces of it.
I love this show.
Why does anyone even find that funny?
Because you sold it so well.
So the Pippi Longstocking, maybe?
Oh, of course. I saw them all the time. Again, part of my blossoming heterosexuality.
Exactly. Now, see, Lance probably masturbated to Pippi Longstocking.
Which I was a little too young then, but...
Jodie Foster.
No.
Who looks like a guy. I masturbated to Jodie Foster because I liked her because she looked like a boy. She looks like Taylor Hanson.
Well, maybe that's why I've never been particularly smitten with her.
Well, there you go. Now, do you think Jodie Foster has a responsibility to come out?
No. Yes. Yeah, I think she
now,
does.
See, you were going to say, yes, she does. But she I do does. Not think, I think people do have a responsibility. I don't – if they don't feel like it, you're automatically placing a double standard on a homosexual minority, saying that they have to speak about their sex lives where straight people don't have to. I don't think anyone should have to. I only do it because – I'm insane, and I get drunk, and I just can't even imagine repressing it.
Well,
but I don't think – I wouldn't put that on anyone that they would have to have a responsibility. And I don't see, even if they did, how it would make it any better for the gay cause or gay people in general. I mean, there was always that thing of, if all of a sudden everyone that was gay turned blue one day, then it would be accepted. No, I don't think so. If everyone that was gay turned blue one day, they would be probably stoned or something.
Yeah. It would just be a light blue country.
Well, I mean, I think there's some legitimacy to the argument that when people see, you know, when people see gays in positions of power, positions of respectability, that lends credibility in a way that, you know, when gays are thought of as completely marginalized.
Sometimes, you know. But you brought up Ricky Martin. I say we don't want him on our team, do we?
I want him on our team.
I don't want him.
I think that, no.
I hope he's straight.
No, Ricky Martin is, you know, if he would have been on the rise as a gay singer.
It never would have happened. He would not be doing the La Vida Loca and the heartthrob of all these 40-year-old women if he came out and said that he was only into boys. It would not have happened. There would be no Ricky Martin phenomenon if he would have said that.
Well, it did kind of kill George Michael quite a bit. Well, in a way.
I have to take
issue. Come on. Wham fans were gay from the get-go. Please. You had to be gay to like
true.
Wham.
That's
which brings
true.
Me
I
to another topic.
As a kid.
Gays have horrible taste in music, and that's why I will never go out with gays. They have the worst taste in music.
I disagree.
So what, who are you going to go out with? The straight man who hit his head and is confused?
I'm sorry? What was that?
If you can't date a gay man, who's going to date a straight man who hit his head and is confused?
That's what I do, exactly. I wait till they get drunk enough instead of being hit on the head. I wait till the straight guys get drunk enough to sleep with me. And then it's great. Then you don't have to talk to them because they run away and try to deny the whole thing ever happened. And I'm fine with that.
He likes people who are fond of getting brush burns.
I'm not sure what that means.
Michael likes rubbing on people for a half an hour beforehand.
I'm a romantic.
Yeah, that was one of Don Juan's big moves, I believe.
Yeah, it's foreplay.
The power rub.
So my powerful computer science like mine has detected a couple of anomalies in what you said, and I was hoping you could clarify them for me. First,
I am a ball of confusion and
first
contradiction,
you
but.
You have no problem with kind of taking the stand of explaining your sex life to the public, but – as far as I can tell, your sex life is all about masturbating to porn. I mean, that's not all.
Shouldn't those people have equal rights too? Shouldn't they get respect?
I have a much more interesting sex life than old TV boy over here.
Well, we were driving through the CMU campus tonight, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I pulled a train on a pool table in that frat house and
I
got crabs."
No idea what it meant.
Pulled a train.
Oh please, don't play naive.
I didn't know what that was either.
You'd better enlighten our.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think it's a contradiction. It's only been the last few years when I've realized that I've really just and it might even be less a narcissistic, self-indulgent thing and more of a kind of addiction to porn, because they're putting out some really, really beautiful stuff out of Czechoslovakia and Eastern Europe now. That is just so. I mean, even some of the kids on this campus cannot compete to this.
An Endel story or the Lucas.
Lucas stories, part 1, 2, 3, and 4, and Frisky, some George Duroy and Bellamy. Yeah, they're doing great stuff.
See, I have a problem with them. I mean, these young men are gorgeous and very different looking from sort of the kind of freakish kind of.
Why? Because they have a sleeping bag.
No, they're a little exotic looking.
Well, no, I think they look great. The problem is that I find that the kind of sex that they show in these porn videos is actually a little bit tame. I mean, they're, you know, it's a very standard kind of.
What's Berkshire into?
Is the ball gag content too low?
Kind of procession, you know, they'll like kiss and then give each
missionary position,
sex, and then you know there might be sort of a penetration thing. But you know, where's the rimming? Where's the water sports? Where's the double fist?
Oh, okay. He's more into the 70s rough stuff then. But
well, you know, what you call 70s rough stuff, I call you know my bread and butter.
That's why kids drive up to you and call you daddy. He is the master of the slaves.
But seriously, I mean, like, you know, especially something as American as analingus. I mean, you know, you're lucky. I mean, if you can, if you, I don't think the DeRoy films ever even do that.
That's one of the reasons I like them. I'm not really into that. Unless someone's sitting on my face, I don't really want to watch someone perform anal lingus. That's not very interesting. I'd rather see the actual penises and their beautiful bodies and their kind of lovemaking and just that they're gorgeous. You know, I don't even – I wouldn't even care if they didn't even have sex. They're just gorgeous, beautiful.
So you'd be happy with an issue of Tiger Beat then, essentially?
Exactly. Yeah, I would be just as happy as looking at a picture of Taylor Hansen, actually.
Right, I mean, you could take it.
What really burned me, Berkshire, have you ever seen the British ones? This is another reason why I hate England. The British ones apparently are not allowed to show any sort of penetration, and they're not allowed to show any cum shots either. So you have these videos that are just kind of, you know, horsing around kind of stuff. Right, you're right. Like, where's the payoff here?
And I mean, at the most, they get sort of semi-fluffy and erect. They never really – they
right.
often don't even
– No, they get –
You're making them sound like instant rice.
I'm a collector, actually, of that, which is nothing to be proud of. It's a lot of wasted money, but you know, people could say buying cool records is a waste of money too. But I'm a collector of especially the European stuff, and getting it to travel around Europe was really interesting, eye-opening for me, if you will.
So I'm thinking that we could set you up with a little kit where we took some figures of Hanson that we cut out of Tiger Beat and we taped them to like a Rock'em Sock'em Robot device, and you could actually stage your own kind of Hanson orgy. Well, I guess we'd have to take two Hansons at a time with the Rock'em Sock'em thing, but
we could make it the same Hanson hat, make it sort of a twin fantasy. Or...
Now,
celebrity death match.
Now, Taylor Hanson to me is all about his bubble butt.
Bubble butt.
Taylor has it's like two bowling balls.
Jodie Foster doesn't. They look exactly alike.
I never really even looked at Jodie Foster's butt.
But, oh, yeah, but you have.
But I looked you at
thought
her face.
It was Taylor Hanson.
So I have heard that Jodie Foster does do a lot of butt stand-ins for teenage music stars.
Actually, I think she has nicer breasts than the girl from Tribe 8, but...
Watch that butcher knife.
Careful with that axe.
Actually, there was when they were in town doing Silence of the Lambs, there was that big rumor that Kelly McGillis, Whitney Houston, and Jodie Foster had this torrid love triangle thing going on.
Why does that make my skin crawl?
Because
yeah, I mean, except for Jodie Foster, that sounds pretty hot, actually.
I can see Jodie, but the other two, please. It sounds like a Pepsi commercial more than a threesome.
No, there was this real drama going on. I think it was...
What was Whitney Houston doing in Pittsburgh?
That was the big scandal.
Was she actually in Pittsburgh?
Because
Smith knows this because he worked on movies.
Worked on movies. And but the rumor was that Kelly McGillis and Jodie Foster were living together.
Mm-hmm.
And
after their starring turn
in
Queens, right?
They were living on College Avenue in Shadyside.
Whoa, sweet grease, Jesus!
Whitney Houston.
Lance would have liked to have been at that house, yes.
And in a jealous rage, Whitney Houston came to Pittsburgh. And
jealous of Kelly or jealous of? Who was Whitney attached to? Okay.
She was,
and then Cordell Stewart came over and said, where's the boy?
And then down came the ferry.
So do we have – does John Camp
talk
still,
radio.
Still
we can say.
John, are you with us?
Yes, I'm just being quiet.
John, why did you call? Do you have an issue to discuss, or do you have anything pertinent to add or say now?
Yeah, I think he's just checking.
Just be quiet and let's have John say something.
No, my basic question was I missed the beginning of the show and I didn't know who the band was.
Well, we're Honeyburst, and we're a great band. And, yeah, you should get together with Smith and come see us play and stuff.
John, are you actually suggesting that after the show's over, the Honeyburst should come over to your place and have a nightcap?
You're good.
but not that good.
If they have anything
See,
to drink,
John's backing out now.
I don't have anything to drink tonight.
We'll bring it.
That's a good...
Oh, and I have to get up early tomorrow. I'm going to see a psychic.
Mm-hmm. We knew that.
This whole show is full of psychics.
I'll meet you in a bathroom.
Surely, DJ Berkshire Hathaway, an accomplished psychic, can handle all your psychic needs right now.
So I wouldn't have to get up in the morning. Send them over.
What psychic are you going to?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. Well, if they mention that this kind of rotund guy with glasses is going to change your life, by all means, meet me.
What sign are you, John?
I am a Scorpio.
I'm a Gemini.
Oh.
True, because we've learned to fear his sting.
I'm afraid of Scorpios.
I was kind of looking forward to the sting. And a sudden silence fell upon the room.
All right, well, I'll let you guys wrap things up. I just wanted to say hello, basically. Like I said, find out who the band was. And I'm off to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Have a great night. And it's nice to meet everybody.
Hold on. Thanks, John. Thanks for calling.
Okay, looks like we've got another caller on the phone. So thanks, John, for calling. And is there a second caller on the air?
Yeah, that's me.
Bossy at midnight?
Hey, welcome to the show. And did you have questions coming?
Is this our guitar player?
Yeah, this is Michalski.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I'm in trouble now. He's going to yell at me.
Oh, no, it sounds great, actually. You're just not being vulgar enough. No, I was calling because you were talking to that John Cam guy, and since you guys are going to be meeting, I think that you should discuss that idea that we had about putting the tour on the internet with the transsexual background singers, and if you could get like some information on how that's done, and ask DJ 2000 what he thinks about seeing Honeyburst with transsexual background singers that we used to have.
Okay, I had this idea.
He's the straight one in the band.
Yeah. So are you asking how transsexuals?
I'm just helping here.
Okay.
This is Well, I had this idea that I wanted to, when I got the computer thing about 3 months ago, I had this idea to wouldn't it be great to do a voyeurism of a band tour and have, like, and also get, at the same time, background singers, which I like to call blackground singers, be part of this whole voyeurism thing, because back in the day, we used to have background singers that were transvestites and hermaphrodites.
We had one that was actually, hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite.
Incredible.
Well, they're not easy to find.
True. Well, she came from circus breed, a fine circus breed.
She had some kind of carny background or something. But we just thought it was a great idea. And actually, he's absolutely right that John Cam guy would be the perfect person to talk to about it.
Absolutely.
So,
are you at work now?
Yeah, I'm at work. I'm pounding on the computer.
He's your other fan.
Are you listening to us on the internet?
Well, not right. No. I was listening to you on the radio, but I had to turn it down.
So, well, he's referred to DJ Berkshire Hathaway as DJ 2000, which is a secret code that indicates he's clearly heard the show.
Yeah, Mike's the one who turned us on to your show.
What you told me to tell him, I just can't bring up the nerve, so I think you should do it for me.
What's that?
About my standards.
Well, what does he look like anyway, Smith? Is he all right looking, or what's up?
Yeah, he's all right looking.
Okay.
He looks a little jocular tonight, though.
Who are you referring to?
DJ 2000, you just always sound so incredibly desperate.
Are you referring to DJ Berkshire Hathaway?
Mike? Yes.
Yeah. Whatever the hell your name is tonight.
He knows you as DJ 2000.
So I'm shocked here on multiple levels. First, you've actually listened to the show before?
I've been listening to you for the last year.
Oh, my.
At least.
Mike, our guitar player, is the one that turned us on to your show to begin with. And he said, man, you guys should go on this show because you're gay.
Months ago.
Well, yeah. It's like that's the only hang-up I have about the show. There's just too many gay issues.
Mike. We'll bring up a good straight sexual issue.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to get hot chicks at the studio.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Howard does that.
I've been trying to do that for a whole year. It just doesn't work
Lance
out.
Lance likes that idea. He's going to get tri-baiting.
I'm going to help out on that.
That's a morning show thing.
Oh, see, I'm...
So do you think, Mike, maybe we could get you to come on the show, and then you could bring some hot chicks on, and if it didn't work out and you left sexually frustrated, then,
I won't leave sexually frustrated. I won't get there sexually frustrated.
Well, that's the thing. You should have Mike on the show. Just his girlfriend alone. His girlfriend is cuter than... What were you saying, the Paulina Perovich?
Perzikova.
His girlfriend is more beautiful than Paulina.
Yes. That's
she is beautiful. She should be a model. He is the most beautiful, milky-skinned, gorgeous girlfriend.
One of our ulterior motives for having you on the show is hoping that you would have groupies, attractive female groupies, who would then want to appear on the show just to sort of smell the same air that you stank up the previous week.
Mike is pretty milky-skinned, too.
That would be an interesting postulate.
I don't know. When we were on our way here, I left Johnny at my apartment to listen to it on the internet. Now that we got here, I'm realizing maybe Johnny's our drummer. Maybe I should have invited him along.
Oh, no. I think that you guys are doing a great job. He can get on in the next one.
So he'll be on with you and Lovey.
In fact, we could do that. He should call in and
Actually, maybe you two should get on and say, and you can discuss what's it like playing with two fags.
It's a gay issue, but in a roundabout way.
Well, back to the gay issue on the show.
Yeah, well, it's in a roundabout way.
We don't prefer roundabout. We prefer reaming.
We know. Well,
apparently, Berkshire.
It wouldn't have to be a completely gay show. I mean, part of the time, you know, I could shave your ass, and then we could talk about your girlfriend.
No, too late. He shaves it all
too
the time.
Late.
Yeah, it's already shaved.
It'll grow. I mean, unless he's like trousers, it'll grow back at some point and require reshaving.
Wow. Does it sound okay?
Guitar player's completely hairless.
Make sure you end with another song. That's my only comment. Yeah. I probably should really get back to work because I got a whole night's worth of stuff to do here.
That's right. You're there to forever.
Exactly. So you guys have a good show. I'll call you some other time, DJ 2000.
Well, wait a minute. Why don't you pick the song?
The last one.
No, it's either Window or...
Oh, we heard Window at the beginning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we've already played the tracks 1 and 2 off that CD.
I still have a pulse on everything.
Yeah, just go ahead and play number 3.
Well, we'll just end it with that.
Okay, that sounds
good. I don't
think
we're there yet, but we'll end it with that.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to give us a proper review.
Hello?
Yeah, Don.
Oh, you know what? I want to ask DJ 2000 one more thing. Whatever happened to that guy that was on last year that used to laugh, like, all the time? Like, every time you said something stupid, he would just go... And he like disappeared after the tournament.
That was Kate.
And it was like he drove me nuts. But it was one of those things where I just wanted to see what he looked like, just to see what the hell was going on. And is he like shorter than you?
No, I mean
close to you.
If you really want to see what he looks like, you have to go to DJ 2000's crawl space.
Oh. Well, I think I've been to worse places.
I took you there.
I think we played in worse places.
I was in Smith's apartment the other day.
Hey, my window is nice. My one window.
Okay, well, I'm going to get to work. I got to go.
Thanks, right, caller.
Call okay.
So we only have a couple minutes left, so...
Aw, man, time flies. Did we even hit some of the more important issues? We never got into the internet thing, but... I'm sorry.
I mean, there was enough for, you know, our glorious internet public to hear your rant against the internet.
Well, you're going to have us back, though, right?
I think we've barely, safe to say we've barely scratched the surface.
The new
what do you sniff it?
So I'm hoping that we could hear, can we hear sort of the last song on the CD and then we'll, are we ready to wrap up then?
I guess.
Are we cutting into someone's time or what, are they going to have a rap show now?
Yeah, we're on the risk of cutting into somebody's time.
Oh, that would not be good.
Well, actually, we may not be. We may not be cutting into someone's time.
Is that right?
Because our producer's checking right now.
Okay.
We can pursue the internet issue until someone's going to play some songs.
Well, I was also going to – I mean, one of the things that we did not touch on at all was for you to demonstrate your powerful psychic abilities. And I was going to ask
you – I predict everyone in this room will be dead someday.
So, for example, you know, if I were involved in a four-way with the members of Hanson – who would be sort of the dominant member? Who would be at the end of the chain?
I think definitely probably the dominant one would be Tay.
No.
Which we call him Taylor. Who? Zach would? Isaac would? No way.
Well,
you don't know them like I do. Tay is the controller, the songwriter.
Who's kind of the bitter oldest one? Is that Tay?
That, no, the oldest one is Isaac.
I'm getting sick of calling them by name. Can we refer to them by number?
Yeah, thing one, thing two. No, actually, let's call them the Brady.
I don't like
so
that.
So I should note our producer.
Back on politics.
Our producers told me that we have a little bit of extra time, so we can run a little bit over. Although I should remind you that it's you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Do a time check, air check.
So
the Hanson brothers are now called Greg, Peter, and Bobby.
A pop culture shorthand that'll make it easy for everybody.
Peter.
Okay.
You know, voice changing thing.
I can't even
tell. By the way,
I can't even tell them apart.
Has his voice changed? Or is their career going to be over next year?
I don't like that topic. Can we talk about how despicable Republicans in Congress are?
Isn't that the same thing?
I can't say anything better about Hanson except that they're Hanson and they're gorgeous.
But wait, we haven't established the alpha male dominance hierarchy between
the hierarchy is definitely Taylor is the leader and the brilliant one. Isaac, his older brother, just follows along because he wants to be in the band. Little Zach is the clownish, childish, impish kind of one.
But
he's kind of getting overweight now that he's reached puberty.
You're forgetting the chaos introduced by the wild card, DJ Berkshire Hathaway.
People can watch Rosie and find out about Hanson. We don't need to discuss Hanson here, do we? She hit it. She got it. I'm sorry.
See, now, our entire listening audience is not going to – the entire
– she hit it. She got it. I'm sorry.
See, now, Our entire listening audience is not going to – the entire last 7 seconds of what have just happened, no one's going to hear because of you and your potty mouth. So I hope you learned a lesson here.
Well, you got to say analingus, but
– analingus is a technical term that's respected by – I actually got a PhD.
It's in the DSM-4. Now I never touched the 7 deadlies. I'm sorry.
They give degrees for that?
It's from Arizona State. I got a PhD.
But it is technically 2 minutes after midnight, Kate. It could have passed. It could have went.
Well, this station does things.
2 minutes after midnight.
This station does it. I mean, the window actually starts after 11. Yeah. But the station does things a little bit differently.
Well, we'll refrain from that anyway because we have class.
Thank you.
So anyway, on the Hanson thing, I think DJ 2000 would be the dominant.
I don't think so. I think
they'll call you daddy.
And meet it on so many levels.
I mean, see, that's the thing that I'm really not comfortable with, is that my own image of myself, I don't really want to take on the sort of daddy role.
Well, and welcome to the working week, because that's what it's going to be.
What role do you want to take on? Sort of the crazy uncle? The, retarded nephew?
He said he wanted to go in the bathroom and get his face painted with a little pearl necklace, and I'll let that be the end of it.
Well, we could talk about my performance piece I did last week.
And now... We could, and we probably should. So what's that about?
I did a thing at Rosebud with Sissy Fit, and I got to get all naked, shaved all the hair off my body, and wore white clown pants.
Now, did you shave the hair off your body? No. Chi-Chi LaBelle, our manager, actually nared Smith's body.
Yes.
Can you nair in real time, or do you have to nair in advance for preparation?
Oh, it has to be advanced.
Okay.
Because it doesn't work the first time.
So you showed up, and you're already smooth as an eel,
smooth,
right?
As a baby's bottom.
Okay.
And then we go in there and I...
You should have mentioned that before the show. It would have lent an air of
excitement. We have to tell them the story because we got together and we're talking with our drummer and I, and we're like, oh, what'd you do today, Johnny? Oh, I worked all day. And I, what'd you do today, Michael? Oh, I went shopping. Oh, what'd you do today, Chi-Chi? He's like, well, I nared Smith's body. And we're like, you win. Truly incredible.
So I'm incredibly itchy right now. But other than that, it was fun. I'd do it again.
What happened? I mean, were you just naked? Was that the performance?
Are you familiar with Butoh dance?
I don't think so.
It's a post-war Japanese minimal anti-dancing where they dress up in white body paint and wear almost nothing. And they do this really slow-paced, some kind of angst-ridden torture thing of like, water is bad. And then, so I hooked up with this fellow named Sissy Fit, who does drag in the Pittsburgh area. He's a wonderful genius, does wonderful performance stuff. Anyway, he graciously asked me to do it, and I said, yeah. And it was the best fun. Wow.
So, was there any sexual content other than sort of the horrific clown imagery sort of way?
Well, it was called I think it was
to a disco.
That's sexual to you? Horrific clown imagery? Lance, I gave you more credit than that.
Wasn't that
I thought you were into girls, but horrific clown sexual imagery?
They're girl clowns. Didn't you see Newhart?
Chicago? What's his name?
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
There you go. It wasn't that bad. But actually, it gave birth to a disco ball.
The big one? That must have hurt.
Sure, it hurts the first time. But the second time feels really good.
Okay.
That hurts at first. If it hurts, we'll stick the head in. We'll talk about it.
So this picture of the life you guys lead in the band, right? Getting nared, giving birth to disco balls, taking...
Do you find that odd?
No, it seems it makes me at least hate, our pathetic little existence as a talk show host.
I had a wonderful I made dinner for the Modi Lemons tonight.
Who are the Modi?
They're these two guys that do this kind of minimal... John Spencer-ish type thing. And they came over and I listened to their CD as I made them dinner.
But you didn't nair them.
A local band that we like and they have nice butts.
I would like to have, but no, I did not. But
I don't think they're not old enough to need naired yet.
No, but they'll
that's a total Pittsburgh game. They don't need nared.
A couple years from now, they'll be norms.
I left out the preposition. They don't need to be nared. They don't need nared.
Nared?
When you're talking to Pittsburgh people, you leave out all the prepositions. There's not – what happened – this is another issue I have. What happened – you people can talk as college people here. What happened to graduating from high school, graduating from college. Now, all of a sudden, in the last few years, it's become, I graduated college. I graduated high school. What happened to the prepositions? They don't exist anymore? You didn't graduate high school. You did not graduate the high school. What is that?
I mean, I think they were incarcerated under the three strikes
apparently,
in America policy.
But people even say that on national television. They, well, he graduated college.
I thought that was just
what?
Bill Cowher.
Oh, it just sounds like fucking...
Well, about nuclear.
It sounds like West Virginia talk to me.
Well, Simon, actually, we have to make a distinction here between, you know, the cat needs petted and graduated college, because that's some kind of Britishism or something, because all my highfalutin friends say, you know, I graduated college. And,
do they? Yeah, they I mean, do now, but they never used to.
Look,
it's only been a few years lately.
I went to the highfalutinest colleges, and... It was graduated college.
I mean, the most highfalutin college you went to left out their prepositions, and they graduated it instead of graduating from it.
I thought you went to CCAC.
No. You did not graduate the college. No, you graduate from the college.
This is. I'll show you how you're wrong, because it depends on whether the person looks at the word college as a way of life or as a place.
Anyways, so our listeners,
only
I should
way you could sell me on it.
I should remind you that if you'd like to call in and ask a grammar question, the phone number here is 621.
Where's the grammar lady? Yeah, is the grammar lady out there?
No, but since we've run over, we're subbing for her on the show.
Is this where the spoken word comes in?
So I mean, powerfully interesting grammar questions aside, I'm curious about the nair. Does it sting when you put it on your scrotum and other like sensitive places?
Sure,
it's really
the first time. Actually,
I mean, I would be afraid to do it.
No, it doesn't sting when you're doing it. It stings days later when you start to sweat and it's hot out.
So the nair process itself is fine. It's the regrowth of the hair that's the only issue, right?
Well, it's the like a hot, humid day like today.
Yeah.
My boys were hanging. You know, it hurts. Hmm.
So. I mean, it stings more than if you had carefully taken a razor and shaved yourself that way. I mean, because nair is it's
yeah, but would
of,
you really want to even carefully take a razor?
I would
to
want
that
to
area.
Like and I'm just saying that.
I mean, DJ Berkshire Hathaway is well acquainted with pleasure and pain, right?
Daddy shaved me.
There's a place.
I'm not sure there's a difference anymore.
And the point is that nair is a relatively powerful chemical, and it does leave your skin a little bit irritated, or so I believe.
It takes out the first layer of skin.
And I would think that, I mean, I've shaved myself with a straight razor, or I'm sorry, with just a regular safety razor many times, and while you have to be careful not to nick yourself, it's actually, I don't have the same kind of, you know, I feel pain on hot days issue that you
Well, wait a minute. Now, would that bother you? Because weren't you complaining about the Czechoslovakian boys not going through with the more nitty-gritty, dirty
well,
stuff?
I mean, I can imagine being strapped to a cross and being flogged by your heterosexual drummer, for example. And that, you know, pain in the appropriate context.
Just made his day.
That's a shout-out. Props to Johnny for flogging Berkshire.
But
you know, I don't want to...
Hi, Johnny.
I don't want to feel pain just sort of on... You know,
it's mild. It's the discomfort, these sort of everyday aches and pains.
Right. I mean, there's a big difference between kind of the delicious sting of the whip delivered by you know, a shaved ass heterosexual drummer, and you know, the constant chronic pain of, say, you know, chemotherapy.
Oh, sure. You say that in a nice warm room. When you're strapped to the cross, it's a different tone, buddy.
No, trust me. The show. He's been caned on the show, all in the name of
caned.
Yeah, well, actually, I had defaced some cars and
wasn't it President Cohen, the CMU president, had to come on and
decide to administer some cane?
You know, that's a good question too. Are they Singaporeans?
Well, do you remember that issue? And I thought it was great. I thought that kid needed to be beat more than with a cane. Kid was just a rich, stupid brat. He needed a good whipping.
So, if you'd hold on a second, as we've established before, our callers come first, and I believe we have a caller.
We have a caller.
Hello, caller.
Hey, how you doing, Honey Burst? This is John Colton, little Greg Colton's brother.
Hey, how are you?
Out in Philly, pretty good. How you doing?
Swishy's brother.
Dairy, I don't know.
Are you Swishy's brother?
Swishy's brother.
Yeah.
You mean Swishy is living in Lancaster now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's what his name is. All right.
Well, Smith refers to him as Swishy.
So, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Are you in Pittsburgh?
No, I'm in Philly right now, but I'm moving to Pittsburgh in the fall.
Another one of our international listeners.
What's that?
Are you actually successfully listening to us on the internet?
I was. I had to turn it off because I only have one phone line. So
Oh, wow.
Well, now you can hear us live.
You know what? I just broke up with somebody in Philadelphia.
Really?
Yeah. See, and you've painted this picture of yourself as a lonely, desperate man.
Do you go to school?
No, I'm out of school. I graduated in 97. I'm going to law school.
Well, good, then I'm glad I broke up with that professor.
Are you as cute as your little brother?
No, he's cuter.
Oh, you've seen me?
I've seen you. I remember you very well.
I'm much cuter and taller.
When are you moving to Pittsburgh? Do you have my number?
August 1st, I'm moving.
See, the charisma of this band is incredible. Every caller, they manipulate into being their own personal funnel of sexual activity.
Oh, you know, I forget your name. What's your name again?
John.
John.
Oh, I've been around before and after concerts, and it's an experience.
Well, do you think we're an overly gay band?
There's a lot of groping.
A lot of groping.
Intra-band groping or groping of the audience?
Everything. I was sandwiched all over the place. I didn't know where to go.
Oh, the audience members were groping you, or were you between
the
singer and the bassist?
Band members.
Okay.
Do you miss that?
They were bursting out with honey all over the place.
And do you miss that?
Nah, not really. I have enough groping here in Philly.
Do you have a girlfriend now?
In fact, I'm groping right now.
Do you have a girlfriend now?
What's that?
Do you have a girlfriend now?
No, not... Not well, currently.
Oh, so you're groping by yourself.
What's that?
You're groping by yourself?
Yeah, sure, in the dark.
Oh, so what are you wearing?
Just a pair of shorts and that's it. Pretty odd.
Did you nair today?
I like that nair discussion, by the way. That's pretty good.
Maybe we
I like the removal of the prepositions. That's a nice observation.
I'm thinking we should institutionalize nairing on the show, that our guests should go through a pre-show nairing.
Nair Lance,
sort of
right?
Hair cleansing.
This is actually a very difficult thing for me because my partner, if I may use that term, actually prefers me to remain hairy. I'm actually sort of relatively hairy.
That would be your life partner, as Ed Koch says, who will not come out. He always refers to life partners.
No, yet he
is an old homosexual old maid, pretty much.
No, I'm referring to my partner in the multi-level marketing group that I'm in.
Doesn't your hairiness help lure customers?
Now, wait a second, Berkshire. We want to talk to this guy more who's on a long-distance phone call from Philly, but you say that...
Well, I mean, sorry to interrupt you with our...
Berkshire's saying that he's looking for dates, but yet you do have a partner, though. You have a significant other.
That's just part of the magic.
Well, that's right. Like you, I have a complicated set of emotional responses. You know, in some sense, I'm involved in a committed relationship, but in other senses, you know, if Jonathan Taylor Thomas offered to like blow his wad on my face, who am I to say no?
Well, there's a thought.
I'm just glad that you're
happy. I
want to
talk more to John.
Yeah. Okay, and back to Lancaster.
I have plenty of wads.
Is John's ace?
August 1st, huh?
What's that?
August 1st, you're moving here?
August 1st, yeah.
How about me and you doing
Why?
A show on here?
Is all right, Philly that bad?
Is your ass shaved?
I like Philly.
I mean, I thought it was a city of brotherly love. Is that just a cruel hoax?
We just pat each other on the butt, that's all.
I like Philadelphia. It was very brotherly love.
Yeah. Have you seen the Phillies commercial?
The what?
The commercial for the Philadelphia Phillies.
What, the Commonwealth of...
Oh, that's horse. That means nothing to me.
They just have a whole bunch of clips of all the players hitting each other on their rear end. And they said, we do it because it feels good. You want to make something out of it?
Do you
that's
like
how
that
they
commercial?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of provocative.
You definitely got to call me.
All right.
That's how they get the woman.
No, when are you going to be performing? Because I might be coming out there during the summer.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, we're playing in Columbus and Cleveland on the 19th and the 20th.
19th and 20th, respectively.
What
Columbus
about
on the 19th,
June
Cleveland.
June 2nd in Pittsburgh at the 31st Street Pub with Nash Cato. From
Nash
Urge
Cato
Overkill.
From Urge Overkill.
Really? Are you opening for him?
He's the Yoko
owner
of Urge
Overkill. He's the what?
Yoko Ono of Urge Overkill.
Yeah. Yoko of Urge Overkill.
It's Nash Cato. I think it'll be a cool show.
Nash Cato, he's a well-known, I mean, he's a pretty big figure.
He means nothing to me. So.
I mean, to you the homosexual or to you the musician?
Yes. He dresses poorly, and he's straight.
And he's over.
Are you going to be, I guess you're not going to be here the 2nd of June.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I got to come out there to look at apartments. So.
What are you moving here for?
Law school.
Law school?
Yeah.
Ooh, definitely keep my number. I'm always getting sued.
So when are you guys I mean, because if he may
he's
not...
He's looking for a rich boyfriend.
He may not move out here before you guys become superstars and start doing only arena tours, right? That's the real danger.
I love your world.
I don't think we really care about that. I think Smith just basically wants to have sex with him.
Yes.
How many, I mean, how many men do we have to throw at him telephonically before he's satisfied? This is now two.
One. Just one.
Well, we threw one at you. And
he's one who's not lying.
Wait, are you accusing friend of the show, John Cam, of lying?
He does not lie.
I don't know, John.
He's stretching for one-liners. That's a merely... Mm.
John Cam is a fine caller.
Yes, and a frequent one, I understand.
So, caller, have we managed to help you?
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
Do you want any psychic predictions? Or?
Do I have to make any predictions?
No, do you want any? Do you need anything from us right now?
Sure, can you sense anything from my voice?
I sense that you need a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who's about maybe 35, lives in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, with glasses.
With glasses.
And no hair on his ass.
Well, not anymore.
I'm not sure. I mean, like, his hair state as of August 1st is still undecided, though, so.
All right. Yeah, I got to get off the air before anybody records this. But,
too late.
We're sending this to your brother and your family.
Okay. Is this being recorded by any chance? Because he would like to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
I sent him an email, but I don't know if he got it.
Yeah, he did, because I talked to him tonight.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, was the rumor true that you guys were in Philly recently, or?
Yes.
You were?
Yeah.
Then where'd you play?
We played at the Pontiac Lounge.
Pontiac Grill?
Pontiac Grill, that's it.
Okay. I guess I can't say that.
But I think we're going to go up in August to New York City.
Okay.
Do you go up there?
Yeah.
Do they like you up there?
You know,
they love.
Do you feel like being in a body sandwich?
I don't know.
They have prepositions in New York, I heard.
Yeah.
Yes, but they don't use
only
them.
Only in Manhattan, not in the Bronx.
So you'll have to check the website.
I heard they have large stocks of Nair.
John, check the website for August shows.
Okay.
www.honeyburst.com.
And you can check the website sextalk.wrce.edu. It's WRCT.org? Okay, .org for...
Hey, John, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Hey, John, before you hang up, actually, the host of the show, trying to get a word in the place, has a question for you.
Who? Okay.
Which is the following. So I can't help but notice that you're being basically inundated with homosexual innuendo and downright oppressive homosexual flirtation.
Straight kids love it.
And yet you're not striking out in rage. Yeah. I mean, whenever I flirt with straight guys, I get physically attacked. What is it about Honeyburst or you that makes you so amenable to these kinds of approaches?
I don't know if it's Honeyburst. I think it's just my personality.
No, it's not that.
No? You don't think so?
No.
But other people have different reactions than I do to Honeyburst, right? They're,
it's about you, John.
It's about me.
Two black guys to prove it.
Yeah, but I gave you that.
What's the question again?
The question is, why are you so comfortable with gay flirtation? Basically, that's the question.
I think I'm comfortable with my heterosexuality. Maybe that's it.
Oh.
But yet you do not have a girlfriend.
I've had girlfriends.
So have I.
Me too, yeah.
To tell you the truth, I think I'm just too immersed in myself to really care. Mm.
So what you would really like is somebody just like you then?
That could be it. Yeah, that sounds like a Seinfeld.
So I'm immersed in myself.
So if you had a twin or a clone, would you have sex with him? I mean, have you thought about that?
Different sexual organs.
Oddly enough, I noticed this weekend, that gay couples all look alike.
Mm.
What is that?
Well, is that true?
I thought that was just a guy and his dog.
I thought that was like people and their dogs.
I think. Well, John, we're probably running out of your bill. We should let you go.
Yeah, that's true. You got to let me go to sleep, though. I got to go analyze computers.
Tomorrow. Your bill? Like what? We've been talking for 10 minutes. Is that going to cost a dollar?
No, I think Berkshire really wants to talk to you a little more, John. He's fascinated with you.
Well, especially like I was thinking about maybe me, you, and your brother getting together for a little, you know, watching football, have a few brews, kind of hanging out.
In the Nair. Right.
Yeah, sure, we'll hang out. You can't expect anything to happen, but I'll hang out with that guy.
Like
about.
What?
What would happen? Spontaneous football watching?
What would happen?
Just a few guys helping each other out.
All right, I've really got to go now.
You're scared of a
Thanks for calling, John.
All right, thank you. See you.
So
Do you know how expensive that piece of acoustic foam is?
I did not rip that off. It was laying on the couch.
Stop messing with it.
Are you harassing our innocent guests?
So here's the question I have. I can't think of their name, unfortunately, but about gay couples. Who are those Las Vegas kind of lion tamer?
Siegfried and Roy.
They don't look alike, and they're a gay couple.
Yes, they do. They look eerily alike.
Do you think they have a responsibility to come out?
Brunette.
Well, I don't know if they are a net asset or a liability to the gay community, because they're so kind of... I mean, they're sort of like, do I want the Bee Gees to come out? I mean, they're kind of freaky.
They're completely stereotypical, the kind of gays that I actually hate. They're the kind of gays that have bad taste in music. They don't like punk rock. They listen to the worst music. They're the most...
Do you know Siegfried and Roy don't like punk rock?
Well, you know, are you going to say it like you hate, Edie Gourmet because she's straight? And those are the kind of...
I would not like Edie Gourmet on a team either.
No, I think that if, Siegfried and Roy are gay, that...
My point is that none of these people should have a responsibility to come out. And whether they do or do not does not reflect on any way to the gay community. That is my premise, and I will defend it.
Well, that's so vague. Yeah, that should be easy to defend. Yes. I believe that Monday happens once a week.
What about DJ Berkshire Hathaway's responsibility to come out on this show?
I think you pretty much have, haven't you?
Yeah. He's trying to get back in with the show.
Yeah, he's going to deny it now after this.
So, well, you've already, labeled huge swaths of the gay population as
having no good taste in music, and I certainly will, and I'll stand by that.
So are there
the
swaths
majority
of
the gay population has horrible taste in music.
Is there a swath of the gay population that has good taste, then?
What?
I mean, because, you seem to be defining a natural class of stereotypical gays, the ones that, like Siegfried and Roy, right? That's along that, the extremes along that axis.
Most stereotypes have 90% are true.
There's some kernel of truth.
A kernel of truth. 90% of truth in stereotypes, yes. No,
so is there a different
wrong.
Is there a different stereotype of gay men that you find sort of acceptable, that you find sort of a...
I don't like gay men at all. I like straight guys.
Well, you like Smith. You like DJ Berkshire Hathaway, right?
Well, he remains to be seen.
I don't know what Berkshire's taste in music is.
I don't know. I like all the good bands like
Iggy Pop.
I love them too.
Yeah, he likes Iggy Pop.
All the good
Iggy Pop's good.
And X.
Ooh.
X? That's a very straight band. Yeah. Very straight harmonies.
Actually, if there was a gay band that did X songs, would they be called Y?
Yeah,
they could be XXXX.
Even though he's gay, I love him.
So, in the Pittsburgh music scene, which actually hasn't been a big topic on the show, are there a lot of other sort of out gay musicians? Are there a lot that aren't out, but that you'll feel free to mock, just like you mocked Ricky Martin?
I know the singer for Master Mechanic, Bob Spieler, is not gay.
And how do you know that? Did you try to turn him and it just didn't work? Or
it's a must.
Pursue that.
There's more lesbian bands that are out.
Okay.
And I don't know many gay men in bands. I can't think of any.
The Automatics.
There's ones that I've slept with, but they would never admit it.
Yeah, that's true. But there's no.
And they probably only slept with me because they're straight.
You know, it might have something to do with rock and roll being so macho, and gay isn't really.
But wait, you just claimed earlier in the show that being in a band, people in high school, was what saved you from getting beat up as a homosexual, because people expected of people in bands to be gay.
You didn't give me legs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't come out until 5-7 years ago. Something okay.
So I have a question. I've received a powerful telepathic transmission from our producer that we only have about 5 minutes left. And so I want to I have a question about...
In radio time, 5 minutes can be an eternity,
Or a hand with 5 fingers sticking out.
We could have a lifetime of experiences in those 5 minutes. But... the question I have specifically for you is that when you have sex with a putatively straight person, what kind of sex is it? I mean, do you have to basically do all the work? They're probably not doing receptive anal intercourse. That would be my guess, right? I mean, they want to.
That's my.
I think you would know better than I, Berkshire. I mean, you know exactly what. Of course not. Of course. Give them oral sex.
I'm sorry.
Of course. They would never do anything in the.
They do for me. They do for me.
You must have some sort of inhuman persuasive power then.
I've gotten so many, like, Guido mother blankers, you know, that have been, like, you know, giving me a hard time about being gay. And then once that last call's called, they say, so, what's up?
And then
and they are all over it.
And they're like very receptive putty in your hands.
They're very receptive putty. And in the morning, I'm like, okay can we good morning,
to,
get up.
So I need, in order, because my imagination is very vivid, I need you to be very specific about exactly what happens after they say what's up and before the morning. And so
they want to taste the daddy.
Yes, and?
And they want to do the daddy.
That's not very descriptive, actually. That's pretty metaphorical.
I mean, so someone who cares as much about grammar as you do.
Well, I'm afraid that anything I say is going to be 7 seconds of nothing.
No, as long as you don't use the bad words.
Yeah, okay.
So they go home with you. Do they want to kiss? Do they want to take a shower together?
No.
Straight to business?
Do they want to perform oral sex on you? On you?
Yes.
And do they want... and. This isn't a poll. You can
just jump in. I'm not sure what to say here because it's your world here. So you want to ask me a question?
I'll list all possible sexual acts. Do they want to perform anal sex with you being the receptor?
I thought he was asking me these questions.
Well, you don't
know.
Do they want to perform anal sex with them being the receptor?
Okay, let me tell you a joke that I don't know if it's a joke or a pointy thing.
This is like a sex talk show, okay? I mean,
you go on with that little moment
in
your head.
The last four minutes, we're getting down to the real nitty-gritty
here. Okay, gay men,
you're bailing out.
Hear me out. Okay, everybody be quiet. All right. Everyone reflect on the poignant thing I'm going to say.
And it's a joke.
Even though this is a joke, it's still, I find it to be true, that gay men love to be up the ass, but... straight men really love to be
That's a joke?
Well, it's a joke in the gay world. Although I am writing this internet joke book, by the way, which I've taken a hiatus from. But somebody came up to me and said, you know, there's no straight jokes. And so I've been writing this joke book about straight jokes. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, what do you call two drunk men having sex?
Really good.
Chi-Chi chimes in.
Yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure that straight men would think of that as a straight joke, actually.
That's the funny
part. The joke's on them.
I do have to admit I find gay men incredibly intelligent.
What?
I find gay men incredibly intelligent.
Which I can argue with that for the last 2 minutes before Gowd. I find them incredibly
shallow
and have bad taste in music.
Well, you've both proved to be exceptionally intelligent guests, right? So.
Why, thank you very much. And if you ever get tired of those girly magazines,
well, you tell us how.
We're probably about out of time, so we should leave our audience with one of the last track off the single you've given us, right? And what's this called?
Daylight.
Daylight.
Daylight. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for having Honeyburst for coming on.
So, thank you for being mad.
Okay.
We go to the song, I have two important announcements to make. First, I'd like you to tell our listeners when your next performance, just remind them when you're going to be in Pittsburgh playing next. You said that was what, June?
June 2nd is
Cleveland, Columbus. First time in Pittsburgh is, yes, June 2nd with Nash Cato from Urge Overkill at the 31st Street Pub in the Strip District.
Okay, and also I'll do my selfish little plug of our own website. Sextalk.wrct.org. You can play this show and any other show over and over again. So Honeyburst, honeyburst.com, thank you for joining us. Thank you for showing me a new way of living.
And listeners, thank you for listening.
And
thanks for being had.
So.